want to begin by saying happy birthday, Lord. Happy birthday. We thank you for your birth, Lord. We thank you for when you came down from heaven to earth. We know we've made this day about so many other things, but today we give it back to you, Lord. This day is about Jesus. Now, while we might not know the exact date of your birth, we're going to celebrate it on today. And we're going to give you honor and glory, O King, because you've been good to us. Every article of clothing we got on is because you provided for us. The house that we just left is because you sheltered us. All the presents we were able to buy our children, Lord God, is because you prospered us, God. We thank you that you've moved us on up, Lord God. We can look back and see that there were days we didn't have it like we have it right now, Lord God. We can remember bologna sandwich and Vienna sausage, God. But you done filled our mouth, satisfied our mouth with good things. And we want to say thank you today, Lord God. You've been a good God. You've been a good Savior. And Father God, we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we want to thank you most of all for saving us. For changing us and pulling us out, Lord, of the kingdom of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of light. We pray now, O King of kings and Lord of lords, that you would come down and have your way in this service. We pray that we would have church in here, that we would forget about all the visitors and how packed it is, but that we would sit at your feet. Help us not to be like Martha, which was busy, but be like Mary, God, who hung on every word, Lord God. I pray that the church in here would act normal, Lord God, that they wouldn't be quiet since they got visitors, God, but that let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Lord God, that we would have church up in here, God. I noticed that some Christmas messages, God, the people are flat, Lord God, like they shy or something, God. But God, if there was any day we were supposed to get excited, if there was any day we were supposed to say hallelujah, hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, bless us, O King. Fill me up with your spirit, O God, and give me a word in due season for your people, God. Save, sanctify, redeem, set free. I pray you do it, God. Let those who expected that they would receive absolutely nothing from being here, let those be the very ones that receive the most. And Father, we pray that everybody would be touched by you, God. Let us start off our Christmas and next Sunday our year the very right way. We pray that you bind the devil out this facility and off the property, God, that you would put an angelic perimeter, Lord, around our property line. Let nothing that would offend come in, O King, we pray. Hey, that what security can't see, you would abate right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. That there would be a peace in here that passeth all understanding. That it would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And let joy fill our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory, somebody. Come on, if you believe him, say hallelujah up in here. If you're not ashamed, say I'm not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed.
That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Well, saints, if you can take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. Mr. Tyrone, we're going to go to your book, Matthew chapter 2. Amen. We're going to start off at verse 1. Glory to God. And we're going to get started. I know y'all all waiting for a Hebrew nugget. But it's Christmas, y'all. And so I gotta handle some business to get you back in time. Amen. To do what you got to do. But next Sunday, Lord spare, we're going to have a Hebrew nugget or two. But for the Hebrew nugget, let me hear who the people.
We the people.
Let me hear who the people.
We the people.
Now let me see you throw it up. One people, serving one God with one purpose. We ain't going to kill each other no more. We ain't going to backstab each other no more. We will not be a hindrance to our society. We're not going to pull down no country we are part of. We're going to be an asset to every nation. We're going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender, not the borrower. We're going to be business owners, good mamas and good daddies. Ain't no state going to have to support us. We're going to be able to support the state. God, in the name of Jesus, bless us now. Who the people?
We the people.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, For all our visitors, welcome to Philadelphia Christian Church, where we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, but we also believe that we are the Hebrews spoken of in the Bible. I want to also welcome those who are tuning in live stream via internet, brothers in Texas, amen, who've been live streaming like I don't know what, brothers in California, amen. So we give praise to God for all those that's tuning in. Hallelujah. Let's look at our Bible, saints. Who ready for the word up in here? Anybody ready for the word? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. Somebody say wise men. From the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Somebody say king of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Somebody say, worship him. Worship. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way. God, in the name of Jesus, we need you more than ever. Add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the exposition of your most holy word. Bless us, O King, to be true to your word, to not eisegete your word, but exegete your word. Help us to pull out what you mean in your scripture and not put in what we want to say. God, bless us, King, and save somebody in here. In Jesus' name, amen. Say to God, this morning we embark upon a journey, amen, with the wise men as they search for Christ. I must admit that since this story is very popular, saints, there's been many things added to it that are extra biblical. For instance, we often hear of the wise men being three wise men. But in our story before us, the Bible never gives a specific number of wise men. It's so easy how we add to the scriptures. Secondly, our songs reflect that the three travelers were kings. One of my favorite songs, We Three Kings. Amen. It's still my favorite. I'm not saying we throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know. But it just shows you how we can add eisegete into the scriptures. We're never told that it was three wise men, and we're never told that they were kings. They were three wise men. Thirdly, people have gone so far as to give them names, Caspar, Belteshazzar, Melchor. They're never named in the Bible. Never named at all. Fourthly, when we put our nativity scenes together, we often put the shepherds, which are accurate, but we put the wise men there as well with baby Jesus. When as we look at scripture, amen, and the time that elapsed in the Gospels, Jesus is not a baby at all when the wise men come. He's more like a toddler. He's probably a little younger than Omar. You see? At that time. Some have also gone as far as to say that the three wise men represent the three races of men. Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And that's not in the Bible either. I would like to suggest to you today, amen, that we should stop thinking, as the Bible says, above which is written. Amen. Amen. That has always got us in trouble, Brother Kev. Stop adding to the scriptures, you see. Hallelujah. So as we follow these wise men in their quest for Christ, we will have several points this morning. And I'm going to try to move as fast as I can before your ham burn in the oven. I'm going to begin with number one. Point number one, let's talk about the wise men. Somebody say the wise men. You see, right after Jesus was born, amen, the Bible says in verse 1, hallelujah, that wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Now, the original Greek word here that represents this phrase, wise men, is the word, amen, that means magi. Somebody say that with me, magi. That's what that actually is. And this word magi tells us a lot about who the wise men are. The magi were a group of people from Persia, Mede, Babylon. And if geographically you don't know where that's at, that's around modern-day Iran, Iraq, amen, in the Middle East, amen. People like Charlemagne, that would be the Persian peoples, amen. These magi were brilliant people, brilliant minds. Brilliant minds in mathematics, in astrology, geometry, amen. They were some of the best minds in the kingdom, in the Middle East, in science, amen. Unfortunately, they also practiced sorcery, witchcraft sometimes, and that is why we have taken the word magi and we have an English word that we have derived from this word magi, and that is the word magic. Anybody hear me up in here? Because a lot of times magi would practice in all the different sciences, the arts, hallelujah, even sorcery and witchcraft. And so sometimes they would be called wise men, magi, or even magicians. Anybody hear me up in here? Y'all ready to study with me? All right. They were usually advisors of kings and rulers because they were so smart and had a grasp of so many different things. In fact, in the book of Daniel, for those who know their Bibles, when Nebuchadnezzar had his disturbing dream, amen, of what was about to happen in his kingdom, the first people he called for in Daniel chapter 2 were the wise men, the magicians. If we can put up Daniel chapter 2 in verse 27, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. The Bible says that Daniel, hallelujah, hallelujah, well, rather not maybe not Daniel, but listen, hallelujah, Nebuchadnezzar called for the magi, right? But they couldn't answer him. Nebuchadnezzar asked, he said, I need y'all to interpret my dream. They say, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, tell us the dream and we go interpret. Nebuchadnezzar said, no. You tell me my dream and then you interpret it. And if y'all don't, Nebuchadnezzar, he was a cruel ruler. He said, if y'all don't, I'm going to kill all the magi and the magicians. Because he couldn't remember his dream. All right? At the time, there was a man in Babylon called Daniel, a godly fellow. And so they told Daniel what was going on, that all the wise men, all the magicians were about to be killed. And so Daniel, hallelujah, is brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, you can tell me my dream and interpret it. And Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven that reveals. I can't, king. But there's a God who can reveal and make it known to the king what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and thy visions on thy head upon thy bed. Well, Daniel reveals the dream, y'all. When Daniel reveals the dream, Nebuchadnezzar makes him chief ruler over, guess who? Over the magi, the magicians. The wise men. We got to go back before we can understand what's going on in the scripture. Are y'all following me here? All right? This is going to be so instrumental for you to understand what's going on in Matthew if you understand what went on in Daniel. He made Daniel chief of the magi, magicians, sorcerers, astrologers, mathematicians, scientists. In 2 and 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him rule over the whole province of Babylon, chief of the governors, and over all the wise men of Babylon. You see it there? Now listen to me. This Daniel was not no ordinary fella. If you remember in the book of Daniel, this is the one, while he's ruler over all the governors, they try to set him up. Caught him praying when they outlawed him, he still prayed. Amen. And they bound Daniel up and they was going to throw him in a den full of what? Yeah. It was that Daniel. And they threw Daniel in and the king went down to Daniel. And Daniel, he said, Daniel, if your God is real, he'll be able to keep you on Daniel. And Daniel said, oh, yeah. And the king and he came back that morning. He said, Daniel, you're still there. And Daniel hollered from the pit with full of lions, oh, king, live forever. For my God whom I serve, hallelujah, shut the mouth of lions. Hey! And I'm not home. That's that Daniel we're talking about. They pull him on out the pit. You know what I'm saying? That's the Daniel. This Daniel I'm talking about is the one that we've named our 21-day fast after. Because he was so astute in the things of God. Hallelujah. The 21 day, I wouldn't say he's the inventor, but we call it a Daniel fast. This Daniel I'm talking about got dreams and revelations so great. When we study the book of Daniel, it was written before the great kingdoms of the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, and the Medes. Amen. Hallelujah. And when Daniel is alive, he gives a vision of prophecy during his time that would name every major kingdom after him. Oh, Daniel was amazing. Not only did Daniel receive visions about the kingdoms of the world, he also received visions of when the great one would come. When the one prophesied in Genesis, the seed of a woman would come down and crush the serpent's head. The one in Genesis when God told Abraham, Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Daniel got a vision about the one that would be the son of David, the king that would come, whose throne would last forever. Daniel got a revelation. He had all those books. The books that I'm quoting, Daniel had all the Pentateuch, the Torah, all the writings of Moses. He had the prophets, Isaiah 53, amen. Who shall believe our report? Amen. Hallelujah. He was bruised for our iniquities. Hey, Daniel had all of that. All right? Daniel was studying. Hallelujah. Daniel was given a vision to the exact time that Messiah would come. The exact date. Now listen good to me. Daniel as chief magi, governor, all the wise men under him. He controls, amen, their studies, what they would emphasize on. He controls the books that they would study from. He is the chief magi. What do you think Daniel would get the other magi to study if he knew the scriptures of the Most High God? Hey! Yeah, they studied everything, but Daniel made sure to put Torah there, to put Genesis and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Hey, y'all know how I like Deuteronomy. You know what I'm saying? He put all of them there. Daniel put Isaiah there, gave him the vision. He's had the Magi studied and learned and masters of Torah, of Old Testament, of Hebrewism. Daniel passes away, but all the magi in their books wait for the date on the calendar. Daniel had prophesied that Messiah would come. And when that date rolled around, the magi were still there. Hey, they look up, they see a star. They study astrology and science and mathematics and Torah and Bible. They say this Daniel prophesied, told us that one was coming. They got on their camels, hallelujah, and they began to travel. You see what I'm saying? And look, I'm embellishing the story. I don't know if it was a camel or a Cadillac, but what I'm saying is, hey, somebody say wise men. Now you understand why they came. It just come from nowhere. God is not arbitrary. Where he move his people and what he do always has a purpose, a rhyme, a reason. And if I know my God like I know my God, Daniel not only left when he would come, but he told them what to do when he got there. Ooh! And we're going to talk about it in a second. I believe Daniel told him, bring him gold, bring him frankincense, bring him myrrh, because I believe Daniel knew who Messiah really was. Come on, give the Lord some glory. Amen. Hey! Point number two. Where is he? Where is he? The Bible says in verse 2 saying that the wise men said when they got to Bethlehem, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. The Magi took the word of God, the supernatural appearing of the star, the visions and the prophetic messages of Daniel. They took them literally and they took them to heart. What I'm saying is they believed the word. They believed the prophecies. Though they had not seen Jesus, they still believed that he was on his way. The Bible says in Peter, having not seen, they believed. They walk up to the people and they say, where is he? like they got a text message from him or like he called him and said, y'all come pick me up. Because that's how you roll up at the mall or someone. So, hey, where's she at? Did you see her look? They walked up there in so much, watch this word, faith. So much faith. Pastor, what's faith? Faith is when you believe God's word. You might not be able to explain it. You with me so far? But we serve a God, hallelujah, whose ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. You with me so far? We just understanding some things now that he wrote, hallelujah, thousands of years ago. So though you don't understand it, you still believe it. Though you don't see it, you still believe it. And that's what we call faith. All right? The wise men had faith. They woke up. They said, where is he? They trusted God. They trusted his word. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, do you have faith this morning? Do you take God at his word? No matter what other people saying, no matter what society is doing, no matter what the universities are saying, my question is to you, do you take God at his word? All right? This faith is so important to God. In fact, faith is really the only thing that God requires of us. So many other religions and denominations seem to think that God requires of us other things to make it into glory. When all God really requires is the only thing that we can actually give him is belief from our heart. The wise men believed. In John chapter 3, verse 36, the Bible tells us, he that believed the Son had everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided on him. The only difference between the saved and the unsaved, the lost and the found, the worldling and the Christian, is this matter of faith. Whether we take God at his word, like the wise men, God said he would be there, The old folk, you say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? When you believe God like that, he that believed on the Son had everlasting life. When you believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his perfect life. Listen, that's salvation. That's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you hear and you don't believe, why don't you try God and see? Why don't you just say, God, I'm going to believe you for a moment. Let's try it and see. Can we go on a trial? Can we devote just the first 30 days of 2017 to say, God, I'm going to believe you and take you at your word? Hey, and the first place I need you to believe is that, hallelujah, you a sinner. He came and he died as a sacrifice for your sins. He was buried on the third day and rose from the grave. You see what I'm, that's what I need you to believe. Well, Pastor, I can't believe that a dead man can rise. Listen, they do it in the emergency room all the time. People die and they be resuscitated. My question to you, if they can do it by, couldn't God do it by, whoo? You with me so far? That's all I'm saying. So why would you ever put God in a box? Hey, God, some people tripping. They say a virgin can't conceive. We do an artificial insemination all the time. They doing it through the injection, but God doing it, hey, through the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying, why would you ever limit God? Because your belief is messed up. It's not that you don't have faith. Don't say that. You just have faith in other things. All I'm saying is for you to cross over with your faith. Just cross. You've been believing man and everything else. Why don't you just try to just believe God? Just a second here. All right? The wise men believed. They said, where is he? They didn't have to see him to believe. You see? Yeah. Let's keep moving, saints. I got more on that, but y'all don't need more. I think we got it. Point number three. We have come to worship him. All right? The Magi just didn't say, where is he? They say, we've come to worship him. You see, it's... faith is enough, just follow me for a second, but it's not enough. You're going to just feel me in 1 second. I am going to fully develop this point, all right? Faith is enough, but it's not enough. Watch me, all right? Because a lot of people say they believe, but they don't act like they believe. All right? You see, true faith affects you. When you believe something strongly, it's going to affect the way you live. All right? We got a lot of people believe in the New Orleans Saints. Kelly, y'all did good. I know y'all was at the game last night. Y'all did good. I thought I heard Chance screaming from the teleprompter. But you know what I'm saying? But listen, you should see Kelly in his Saints uniform. Duck, you got any pictures we could put on the screen? Well, Kelly will dress up and just, you know, paint it. I love that. Because, when I would go to the game, I beat on the wall and all that. Why? Because I believe. The more you believe something, the more it's going to affect the way you live out. All right? We live outside of our hearts. The Bible says, for out of it comes the issues of life. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the man lives. So whatever is full, filled up, your heart, has your heart filled up, amen, it's going to come out of you. All right. If you have the faith like the wise men, that faith will prompt you to do some things. Mm.
Pastor, what you saying? What you saying? Well, what I'm saying is what James summarized in his epistle. Faith without works is dead. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Because, y'all, we got a lot of people claiming to be believers and claiming to be Christians, but when you look at them living, you say, if you a believer, I must be a believer too. Because the way you living and what you're doing, don't be dismayed by fake Christians. Anybody hear me up here? Don't let their life run you away from Christ, because that's not the only Christians in the world. All right? They have people with real faith. And that faith as a seed produces a certain fruit. Oh, God. Can you see it? That's why Jesus said, hallelujah, don't look at what they say. Don't look at what they teach. He said, you shall know them by their cursed faith. Faith has a fruit. You see, you've just been listening to words. Faith has a fruit. All right? What I'm trying to say, faith is enough, but it's not enough. It's enough to get you saved, all right? But the authenticity of that fruit is proven by how you live and what you do and how you act. The Bible says the devils even believe. But they don't believe so deep that it changes the way they live. What I want you to be like is like the wise men. To believe so strong that it changed your day. It changed the way you talk. Hey, I ain't cursing no more. It changed the way you walk. Hey, I ain't gangster no more. It changed where you go. I'm not going to the bar anymore. I'm not stopping to buy me a dime sack no more. I'm not going to get that legal no more. I'm not stopping by that woman house I'm not married to no more. I'm not going over there no more because my Savior died for me. And hey! And it's not that we changed ourselves, no. That comes from only believing. When you really believe, that is going to be the byproduct of believing. That's what it is. Faith produces some things. When you love the saints like Kelly loved it, you're going to dress up. When you love the Lord, like the Bible say we should. Hey! You're going to live a certain way. Well, Pastor, what did the wise men do that you have observed in this text to verify their faith? Well, it's easy. It's easy. Look at them. These dudes crossed deserts, rivers. They traveled over mountainous terrain, dangers and robbers and thieves, while carrying expensive gifts. They came all the way. This beautiful song summarizes we three kings, and we're gonna probably do that again before we, where be at? Somewhere back here. I couldn't see him, you see. We magi of Orient all, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. You see? Pastor, what you mean? Well, they believed the promises of the Bible so much. They traveled hundreds of miles. They believed that he was coming so much. They went to the place where he would be born. Anybody hear me up in here? They went to see him. They believed him so much. That's true faith. You see, when you truly believe in Jesus, you will begin to look for Jesus. You begin to go and seek him. Where is he? I gotta find him. That's when you believe. You see, when you don't believe, you won't look for him. The wise men went look for him. You see, me, I gotta have my Jesus. I gotta be around him. Where is my beloved? Hear me up in here. So listen to me. I don't mean to convict people, but I do mean to convict people. But when you truly believe,
You're going to want to read your Bible because it's his love letter to you. When you truly believe, you're going to want to be in somebody's church. You're going to be a pull, you know? You're going to wake up, that spouse is going to be, can we just go to church? Which, why in the world would you want to? We ain't never went. There's a pull going on, all right? When you want to go to Bible study, nothing is going to stop you from finding him. Like the wise men, field and fountain, and mountain, following yonder star. I love that. I love that. Hallelujah. Where are your works that correspond with your faith? Are you seeking Jesus? Are you born again? Are you a new creature? Are you pressing holiness? Are you living the most righteous life that you can? Not perfect, but you're pressing. Not that you're getting, hallelujah, not, you're not getting worse, but you're somehow getting better, faith to faith, glory to glory. Amen. The wise men say, hallelujah, where is he? We have come to worship him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Let's keep on moving. Let's keep on moving. Let's go to our next point. What point that is? Point number four. Boy, we doing good. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let's talk about Herod the king. Right? Bible says in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So the Magi went up to him in Israel, really in Jerusalem, and say, where is he that's born king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. Herod is the king. Still by the Roman government. He's not the real king. In fact, he's an Edomite. He's a mixed breed. He's not even really part of the Hebrew people. Anybody hear me up here? And he's very godless. I'm not talking about his race. I'm talking about his God that he said. He don't serve the living God. Nothing wrong with being mulatto. You know what I'm saying? Biracial. Half of us in here are. But the issue is who God you serve. And Herod didn't serve the Lord. Herod didn't serve the Lord. And so when he heard about the Messiah, the true king, the first response he had was, the Bible says, he was troubled. You see, when some of y'all hear about Christ, you feel the same way Herod felt. Troubled. I got all the air conditioning blowing in here and you still hot. And you wondering, when he going to be over? I don't like all of this. I only came here because you forced me. And the more you talk about Jesus, the more I hate it. See, Herod was like that. And let me tell you Herod's problem, right? Which is a problem with a lot of us. It was my problem before I got saved. Herod's problem was sin. He loved what he was doing more than he loved his God. He loved the sin he was in. And Herod was troubled because he knew that when the king came on the scene, he would have to bow down to the king. So it's really no problem with God. It's no problem with Jesus. It's no problem with the Bible. All that stuff is real. Amen. I know it's real in my heart, but I am not ready to give up my sinful lifestyle. So the more you talk about him and you read his book and you play that gospel music in your car and the more you say hallelujah and amen, it makes me upset because I love my sin. And that's Herod, though. Herod had married his brother's wife. Herod had murdered his own son. He murdered his wife. He was such a depraved lunatic. Messiah meant that Herod was going to have to change, and he didn't want to change. There's some in here, listen, God forbid, but there's some in here. Your only problem with me in Philadelphia and the Bible is the fact that you know that God is real. And you know he is the real king. All right? And you know that when he shows up, he requires change. And so that bothers you. That bothers you. And those be the same people that will and fuss sometimes, hallelujah, under the guise that God is dead. Under the guise that God don't exist. Remember that movie, God Is Not Dead? The biggest atheist on that movie had an whole argument with God. But yet he said that God did not exist. How do you argue with somebody that don't exist? Why are you so mad at somebody that does not exist? No, no, no. God is alive. He exists. You're just not ready to give up you just yet. But I got a word of hope for you. If you think you're living now, if you think you're a little sin, that's how I was. Didn't want to give up doing it, doing that. Ooh, if I could go back, I would have slapped myself. I would have got saved 10 years earlier. The funny thing about the Lord is this. He says, he who keeps his life loses it. Means that as long as you're king, Herod, you die. Your life gets worse. You'll find yourself in a situation that nobody can get you out of. He who keeps his life loses his life. But he who gives his life, he who surrenders his life, he who says, my king, I humbly come unto thee and surrender all that I have, all to thee. I surrender all to thee, I freely give. I surrender all to you, Jesus. When you surrender all, when you give it your life, he shall indeed receive life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The little things I gave up for him that he wound up blessing me with, a beautiful, solid wife, a solid marriage, children, understand what I'm saying? A church that loved me. Hallelujah, a law degree. Hey, got a house that I can, a car to drive. And not just material things, no. Because listen, the devil can give material things. But he's giving me joy, 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 joy. Joy, 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 joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passes all understanding. Hey, I can sleep at night. You with me so far? It don't mean that trouble don't come my way, no, Philly. But because I got him, when trouble come, I know who to call upon. Hey! I never had that. When trouble came, I had to fear God. I ain't got to fear God nothing. You see, because if I'm somebody else's servant, my Lord has to take care of me. Hey! If I'm... Oh, you don't... If I'm somebody else's child, then I'm somebody else's responsibility. When I surrender, I'm adopted. When I'm adopted, I'm a son. And when a son need provision, daddy come down to provide. When a son need protection, daddy come on and protect. Hey, man need a daddy. That's the problem with most of our men. They ain't got no daddy. Wasn't raised with no daddy. Oh, no, Pastor, my daddy was in the house. He still wasn't there. All right? He still wasn't there. Most of our men got father wounds up in here. The Bible says, though mother and father forsake me, the Lord will pick me up. The Lord will be a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. He'll teach you how to be a man, young man. I don't know how I got off onto that, but listen. Hey, Herod. The king didn't want to get off of his throne. Who's on the throne of your life? Are you a Herod? Are you sitting on your throne? I'm doing me. Are you doing you? Are you doing him? You see me? I'm doing him. You with me? And as I do him, he do me. Hey! Hey! Who would you rather do you? You'd rather you do you or God do you? Hey! In order for God to do you, you got to do him. Serve him. And he's going to bless you. Come on, give God some. Hey! That's Herod. Next point. That's point number 5. The chief priest. Let's just break down this story for a second. The Bible tells us in verse 4 that Herod was troubled. So immediately he went to the religious folk. And when he had gathered all the chief priests,
the scribes, the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Listen, Herod was a sinner. And he was, you know, some people, they just in their sin. Nah, they ain't shame or nothing. Nah, it's what it is. All right? And you love a Herod that's real about who they are. In fact, them the easiest to get saved. I'm just going to be me. I don't care who, if pastor that, he pull out the, you know what I mean? Hey, pastor. The easiest to get saved. This next group of people, the chief priests, the religious, the church folk. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. All right? This is the roughest group yet. So Herod wants to know exactly where Messiah would be born. But he has some ulterior motives now. You know? Where is he? I want to come to worship him. Herod, like, yeah. When I find him. But Herod wants to know. So he goes to the religious, the chief priests, the scribes, amen, the Pharisees, and the doctors of the law. And he looked at them and he said, listen, where is Christ to be born? Now, Kev, the interesting thing is that they knew their Bible. They didn't have to go research and study and, oh, let's break out the scrolls. You know what I'm saying? No. When Herod asked them, they looked at him, T. They said, Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets. You understand what I'm saying? They quote the Old Testament. They know their Bible. You know, the Bible prophesied that he would come, where he would be born, how he would be born. The Bible did everything to prophesy Jesus' birth, but leave us a description, a Polaroid picture. You know, anybody with me? You know? So they knew it. But my question to you this morning is, if they knew where he would be born, if they knew the scriptures, why in the world they wasn't in Bethlehem themselves waiting for them? Why, what in the world, they wasn't with the wise men? The wise men came hundreds of miles from the east, and they seeking the Messiah. These religious folk next door to him, passing him on the street. Mama right there, mama coming in, you know what I'm saying? And they not seeking him. Pastor, what you're trying to tell us? Some of the worst folk in the world are religious folk. Hey! Now y'all saw how I got like 50% clap? That's because, Ms. Tyrone, I'm talking about the church now. I am an equal opportunity offender. I offend them all. I offend the lost, the saved. Offend everybody up in there. Children, wait your turn. Listen to me. These religious folk, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you that there will be some who know the scriptures. Some who may even come to church. Some that have religion, but they don't have Christ. They don't have Christ. No. They don't have Christ. No. What you mean? Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, the crux of the Bible, the whole point of it, is not religion. The point of the Bible, Chris, is relationship. God wants a relationship with his people. Religion is man-made. The do's and the don'ts. Feel like I'm playing hopscotch. I got jump in my rock. All that stuff. No. God wants a relationship. Well, you know he exists. You talk to him. You keep him informed what's going on in your life. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge. And he will direct your path. He wants relationship. Humanity has failed because we've made this religion. And religion without relationship is oppression. It's rules that we try to force upon a people. Some of y'all call me and text me and ask, Pastor, what should I do? What should I do? What should you do? What you mean, what should you do? Who had made me Lord and King over you? You understand what I'm saying? I'm the messenger. Now don't you come here disrespect me now. But I'm the messenger, all right? I'm not going to micromanage God's people. That's not my thing.
And usually, if you ask me, I may even have the answer. But why would I give you the fish when I can teach you to fish for yourself? When I can teach you to go get on your knees yourself and say, Daddy, I need help. Why should I handicap you and lord it over you and micromanage your decisions? Not only would it destroy my personal life and my family and raising my family, and that's why most pastors' lives are in shambles, because they're trying to micromanage. You know the Lord. You ask him. You ask him. You ask him. I'll give you confirmation. I tell you like that little game. You warm. You hot. You cold. Well, we had y'all religion. You know what I'm saying? It's easier to convert the alcoholic sometimes. The drug addict sometimes. The person who has no religious affiliation like I was. I come in loss. A Bible, what that is? Yeah. They say turn to Genesis. I tell them, hey, but where Genesis at? Because sometimes religion and tradition will mess you up. And you gotta come to God. And God, hey, God, gotta unload all the files that man done put upon your hard drive. You see? The religious. That's the... How can I tell when I'm religious? How can I tell? You're religious when you know the word and don't do the word. You're religious when you say you love God, but you don't love his people. You don't love his people. You come to church, you look good, but you're as mean as a pit bull on cayenne pepper. You understand what I'm saying? You're as mean as a pit bull after the eating primetime gumbo. You with me, so? Prime, that gumbo was good, too. I don't know where you at, but anyway, listen. Why are church folks so mean sometimes? When the Lord commanded us, by this shall you know my disciples, by the way they love one another. You would know the seed of faith. I feel that the world is misjudging the church. Because we got a lot of people that have, hallelujah, perpetrated identity theft. They're saying they're believers and Christians, but they're not. They done stole my ID and went cut up somewhere. And now they look at me, Prophet Montgomery, and they say, well, he ain't no good. No, it ain't me, dog. It ain't me. That's an imposter. That's not one of us. That's just a wolf in sheep's clothes. Hey! Church folk, be careful. Don't ever slide into religion. Always keep yourself fresh with a relationship. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We winding down. Here we go. Look at verse 6 and 6 through 8. We're going to kind of talk. We're going to get to our final point. Well, yeah. Look what it says. And thou, Bethlehem, now the religious folk just quoting the scripture, T. That's all they're doing. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land, hallelujah, of Judah, art not the least amongst the princes. And they say here of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. And they just quote an Old Testament hymn. They say, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired diligently what time the star appeared. When did y'all see that star, he said? What was the date? You know? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. They don't call him a baby, the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship. I see Herod doing this to his men. Why he say that I may come and worship him. That's what I see him do. That's what Herod do. All right. Verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Here's our 6 point. Did I say six? Yeah, I'm going to say six. I say six. I got to give y'all something to go home with. And lo, a star. And lo, a star. So Herod sent the wise men out. And the Bible says in verse 9 that a star, which they saw in the east, the star went before them again till it came and stood right over the place where the young child was, where Jesus was. You see, God gives them a star to help them along the way. You see, this is the deal. All those who are really seeking after God will find him. Everybody that really wants God will find him. God is not in the business of hiding himself from people. You know how we play hide and seek? And we do our best not to be found. God is not trying to be found. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. That's what God, he's not hiding himself. I love Jeremiah 29:13. He says, and ye shall seek me and find me. But it's only when you search for me with, oh, you got to come real now. You got to come real. I'm coming with my heart. All true seekers will find him. That's my story, man. In verse 14, seek for him, when search for him with all your heart. And look what he says. I love this. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Now the rest of the verse is particularly addressed to his people. Prophet, you know what I'm talking about. When we search for him as a people with all our hearts, he's going to be found of us. And I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. Hey, God, I'm going to just stop right there. Lest we get into something that ain't got nothing to do with Christmas. Let's just keep going here for a second here. A star. If we just get real with God and seek him, we will have him. The reason we don't have God is because we don't want him. Or we want something else more than him. Because when we seek him with all our hearts, he promises to give himself to us. Listen, here's his comfort for you. No one who really wants God will end up in hell. No one. He said the H word. Yes, I did. Well, the Bible talk about it. Jesus talk about it. Why I can't talk about it? I'm not up here to be politically correct. No one will be in hell. Sheol, Hades. Who want God. Not a single one. It's only those who don't want him. And really, God is ultimately just going to give them what they want. A life void and absent of him. And all hell is, let's not over-spiritualize it, is a place where you don't have the presence and the blessings of God. What you enjoy in here momentarily is only because of God's blessings. The fruits, the trees, the air, the water. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. And every once in a while, God will back away and show us, do you really want me to be gone. He'll give us a taste of his absence. Here's the other thing about the star. God sends a star. If you really seek after God, God, you'll not only be found of God, he'll send you a star. Meaning that God will send you something, someone, to lead you to himself. Anybody hear me up in here? A star. It might be a parent that keep reminding you about church and keep reminding you about the Bible. That's your star. That star came over right where he was and stayed there so you could. That star was like a neon light waving his hands. Amen. And stars may not be perfect, but they show good traffic signs. They point down Atlanta here, exit here. All right? Who's your star? Could be a parent. Could be a sibling. Could be, hey, an aunt, an uncle. Remember that sweet star that was in your life, Chantel? That aunt that would come in from out of town and give you Christian music and bracelets. She's long gone. We went to her funeral, but we know where she is. Amen. She was your star. She stood over the place where he was and said, there he is. Who's your star? You see? Could be somebody close. Could be the old knucklehead pastor that's always in your business. Preaching all your stuff like you bought in your house. Yeah, you could be mad at your star, but your star's still standing there over the place where he was, saying, if you want to find him, there he is. Now listen, the star was not the Christ. The star only pointed to the Christ. So don't get that confused. Don't you start worshiping mama and daddy and brother and sister and pastor and minister. We're not the Christ. We're just pointing to the Christ. Don't get it twisted. And lo, a star. This is our last point. They've given me the signal. And soon my screens will begin to blink. I just get so into it sometimes when I'm with y'all. All right? Here's the last point. The gifts. They're treasures. Verse 11 and 12, it says that, and when they will come into the house, I can preach right at it. Don't just stay outside the place where the star pointing. Come into the house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we can read these words like all the rest of the Bible and just pass over them. Just give them a tertiary look. Just pass over them. But don't you just pass over the word of the Most High. Every gift they brought was significant. It was like not only Daniel told them where to go, what time he would be born, but I'm going to leave you instructions on what to bring him. I can't say that's what happened. You see, I'm just speculating. Every gift meant something. You say, Pastor, is that where we get the gift given for Christmas? Nah, because that's just the second set that was given. The first gift was the son that was given. Amen? All right? That's where we give the gift given from, because God gave. But let's look at the gifts. Gold is something that was always reserved to give royalty. You gave a king gold. Frankincense, in my personal reading this morning in Leviticus, frankincense was always offered to the Most High, Yahweh, God, Elohim, Adonai. It was always offered to him. And you couldn't come mixing no oils and no perfumes, no strange fire. He wanted something pure. Pure frankincense was given to God. Gold, frankincense. Myrrh was given. Hey, upon somebody's burial. When they wrapped Christ, Joseph of Arimathea wrapped him up and they prepared a burial for him with aloes and myrrh. Myrrh meant sorrow, grief, death. Oh, God, have mercy. Whoever these wise men were, they knew his story. They knew who he was, what he would do. They knew the beginning. They knew the end. They knew it all. And the gifts of Christmas tell the story of our Messiah up here. They tell us, y'all. The gold tells us that he would be a king, the King of Kings. This young child running around, amen, pulling Mary's hair and knocking down stuff. He's a king. Who could imagine? Who would imagine a king? The frankincense meant that he would not just be a king, but that he would be King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God incarnate in the flesh, walking on water, still in storms. Anybody hear me up in here? The myrrh would represent, though he would be king in very God, that king in God in the flesh, because sins, how we've fallen short, and our way was shut into heaven, that he would come from heaven to earth, die a sacrificial atoning death on the cross, push us out the way of the train and jump in and take death for us. The myrrh represented his passion. The myrrh represented Calvary. Do you hear the words of the song? Born a babe on Bethlehem's plain. Gold we bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Do you hear the we three kings? Frankincense to offer have I. Incense comes, a deity, a God comes nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, he's God on high. Myrrh is mine, is bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrow and sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone cold. That's the songs we sing. That's the songs we sing. That's why the songs are so important. You see? Listen to me. This Christmas, you have an opportunity like the wise men to believe. Not only to believe in an empty way like the devils, but to believe with your heart and put some action behind it. A faith that changes you. You see. You have an opportunity, amen, like the wise men, hallelujah, to make him king over your life. Surrender to him. That's gold. To make him your God. That's the frankincense. And to recognize his passion for your salvation. Do you believe this morning? If you are here and you have struggled with faith, I'm going to pray with you here in a second. If you're here and you have backslid and you're not worshiping the Lord, 2016 has been atrocious for you in your church attendance and your seriousness. Hallelujah. Brothers, y'all good right there. Y'all good right there. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something different. Hallelujah. Brian, come on up with the worship team, Brian. Right, come on up. I want those last two y'all did, the We Three Kings, and we're going to leave out with the Temptations. I mean, the little Pastor Crazy. But if you're here and you doubt your salvation, y'all just keep that plan until the worship team comes. If you would tell me, Pastor, I'm not saved. I really didn't believe, but something went off as you were talking. Something, the Bible came alive, and I see now. And I want to believe. I want to trust God. I want to be like the wise man, and I am tired. Some of you will say, of playing church. The religious you talked about, that was me. I've been hiding, but I'm as lost as the one in the club down there. I'm just in the church. I'm ready, Pastor. I've tried to be Herod. I've tried it my own way, and it's just not working. But I'm ready now. I want to be saved. I want to come back to God. I'm ready. If you're here and that's you, make your way to the stage and come pray with me. Brothers, y'all good. Make your way to the stage and come pray with me. Make your way to the stage and come pray with me. You won't come up too many room? You can come up. All right. Not too many, though, Deli. Not too many. All right. All right. Make your way to the stage. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait for you. Let's move to Three Kings while they come and pray with me. Let's move to Three Kings. Just come and pray with me. You want to be assured of your salvation? You want to give him everything? Perfect.
Bearing gifts we traversed afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star.
Star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceed, guide us to.
Now listen to the words of this, saints. Listen to the words of this thing right here.
Born a king on Bethlehem's name, gold I bring to crown him a king forever, ceasing never over us all to reign.
That's good. That's good.
Star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty.
Don't be ashamed if you need this altar. Come. Come. Come and pray with me.
Guide us to thy perfect light.
Break and sits to offer heaven. Incense all to deity light. Prayer and praise and home and raise and worship the God most high. Oh,
star of wonder, star of night.
Yeah.
Star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
That's perfect, that's perfect. Saints, listen, we're going to pray right here at this altar. And all those that's here, if you want to pray with us, you can pray with us too. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to say, God, thank you. For loving me. I admit I've done some wrong.
I've done some wrong.
And I'm sorry.
But I believe
that you came,
and died for me.
On the cross.
I believe
you were buried.
In the grave.
And I believe
you rose
On the third day.
On the third day.
Lord.
Lord.
Save me.
Save me.
A sinner.
A sinner.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
And teach me.
And teach me.
How to live.
How to live.
I don't want religion.
I don't want religion.
I want a relationship.
I want a relationship.
Use me for your glory.
Use me for your glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Listen, I done got so caught up in the word. I done got so caught up in the souls of men. What did Pastor forget again? I done forgot the tithes and offerings. Because I'm really not here for that. But I understand we got to run a church and we got bills we got to pay and stuff. So if you came with your tithes and or you want to give, amen, don't just leave out of here without doing it if it's on your heart. We're going to position our ushers with baskets, amen, by every exit. Go ahead and prepare yourself and give something. Don't be so quick to run out of here, you know. Because really what you're doing here this morning, this is really Christmas. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may return to your seats and we're going to dismiss here. Hallelujah. You may return to your seats. We're going to dismiss. Hallelujah. Go ahead and get yourself ready. Hallelujah. Go ahead and get your purse and get you packed up. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to get ready. Hallelujah. They say, y'all going to have to remind me about tithes and offerings, y'all. I just, you know what I'm saying? If it's going down and y'all just, was that pretty? Okay, all right, look, now they're telling me that they want the ushers in the front. That's where you want it? Okay, so they're going to have some ushers in the back and some in the front, and we're going to leave out on the temptations. How's that? Is that all right? All right, all right, all right. Well, here you go. I'm going to pray a blessing on you. May the Lord bless you. Come on up, my children. We're going to get going. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Now, y'all, we're going to need some lights in here. We can't be leaving with no lights. Well, I would. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he bless you with what? With peace. What's that? Shalom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Merry Christmas, y'all. Merry Christmas. Love y'all. Merry Christmas.
Monitors. Listen. Church.
Woo. Hallelujah. Merry